Welcome in, welcome in, welcome in, everyone, to Morning Invest on this Thursday, October 15th. I'm Clayton Morris. Welcome to the only business news show for real people, not the Wall Street types. The covers stories here that you're not going to see in the mainstream media. At least that's my goal. If you want the mainstream media, you know where to find that stuff. So we've got a couple of big stories for you this morning. We're going to be covering the latest on the stimulus news. And Mitch McConnell wants to give you the lowest, tiniest possible stimulus possible. But he might not even be able to get that through his Senate caucus. Meanwhile, this morning, Nancy Pelosi, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin are going to meet again. They met yesterday for an hour. They're going to meet again today, trying to hammer through some sort of a stimulus plan. We'll tell you what the hangup is. And we're going to hear from the Treasury Secretary this morning. Let's hope that Nancy Pelosi got some sleep and she doesn't, and she's actually able to do this negotiation. I think she's still maybe out to lunch and still suffering from whatever she's got here.
Your quiver, you're not ruling anything out.
Good morning. Sunday morning.
Sorry, I had to. Sunday morning. And meanwhile, the mainstream media is, I guess I'm going to call them the mainstream media at this point, Facebook, Twitter, large social media. I mean, that's what they are. They're media companies. They're in cahoots with the government, as we've seen. And they're censoring this Hunter Biden story. We'll tell you about the latest in this Hunter Biden's computer saga and why I think most people are really missing the bigger story here, which is the censorship of this story. So we'll tell you who's censoring it and why this is one step removed from like something China and North Korea would do. We're also going to talk about how Joe Biden is stacking his transition team already and how well, will he measure up to the pledge that he signed basically a number of months ago, saying that he would not stack his transition team or cabinet possibilities with corporate elites. So is he measuring up to his pledge? All of that and more. We've got some new unemployment numbers this morning on the show. So we've got a lot to get to on the old broadcast. You guys can hear me okay today in the old stream. I hope everyone is doing well. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hey, I want to mention we had a viewer who got one of our mugs or a sweatshirt or whatever, but I wanted to give a shout out. If you buy one of our mugs in our store, just by going to morninginvest.com/store, take a picture of yourself or have someone take a picture of you and send it in to team@morninginvest.com. Here's Paul, one of our loyal viewers in Verona, Pennsylvania. Thank you, Paul. He says, I'm enjoying some with a Grover mug and a little coffee watching the show. So thank you so much, Paul. So again, team@morninginvest.com. If you pick up one of our mugs, one of our t-shirts, one of our hoodies, and you're out and about, send in a picture and we'll give you a shout out here on the show. So thank you so much, Paul, for your support of the show. Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. All right, let's get to it this morning. Let's talk about the stimulus. Well, Mitch McConnell basically wants to give you the lowest possible amount in stimulus. Of course, this was news yesterday afternoon where Mitch McConnell basically said, I'm going to try to push through this $500 billion package in my caucus next week. He's going to try to get a vote on it next week in the Senate. Now, good luck with that. Good luck. Now you've done your work on the Amy Coney Barrett Supreme Court hearing, great. Now you can get back to the people's business, giving us the smallest possible stimulus you can possibly put together. What did Daddy Ted Cruz tell you? He's not going to vote for it. Anything bigger than that? What did Daddy Rand Paul tell you? He's not going to vote for it. So you better keep it as small as possible. So that's on the Senate side. Good luck. This would be amazing. Wouldn't it be amazing he brings a $500 billion stimulus plan to the floor and still isn't able to get it through? Because all these corporate Republicans have already gotten what they needed for their corporate lobbyists. All these energy companies and big businesses, they all got their bailout already. So they don't want to go along with any kind of a relationship or an agreement with Nancy Pelosi before an election. They don't want it. They're vehemently telling him, don't do it. Don't do it at all. And I just want to put this back up here as a reminder of these other countries. Australia, $1,900 a month in stimulus relief. Canada, $1,400 a month. Denmark, $3,000 a month. France, if you live there, $7,000 a month. They're going back under lockdown. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Germany, $7,000 a month in stimulus. Ireland, $1,700. UK, $3,000. They're going back under lockdown. Again, we'll get to that in a minute. And the United States, $1,200. It's supposed to last you for 32 weeks. Of course, many of you spent it in a short amount of time. Disgusting, right? So the stock market yesterday took a dump, down about 100 points, and they're nervous. So you just got to look at Wall Street. They're nervous. So as soon as Treasury Secretary Mnuchin came out yesterday and made his comments on Fox Business about they're still at this impasse and he's not confident that they're going to get anything through before Election Day, stock market went, meow. Here is Treasury Secretary Mnuchin yesterday answering these questions about where we are with these stimulus negotiations with Lou Dobbs. Listen.
As what seems to be an impasse.
Well, Lou, first of all, it's great to be with you. The president in my first priority would be there's about $300 billion that was approved in the last CARES package that we haven't spent. We need authority to spend that money. So our choice would be to immediately use that money for small business, for more PPP money, second payments, use it for airline workers, use it for kids and to support jobs. So we could get that money into the economy quickly. The president would also like to send direct payments to hardworking Americans quickly. There's a lot of areas in here that we would have enormous bipartisan support if they could be passed on a standalone basis. The Speaker and Senator Schumer have insisted on an all or nothing approach. So we've been trying to negotiate in good faith a comprehensive package that would include a lot of things, would include money for testing, vaccines, kids, jobs, healthcare. Certain areas we've made a lot of progress on, certain areas we still have more work to do.
Jessica Colvin in our chat this morning says, I've noticed when stock market goes down, Trump tweets about the stimulus and then it goes back up. Yeah, right. People are talking about the sort of pump and dump strategy right now, you know? So people buy, you know, dump the stocks, then they swoop in and buy them up for cheaper because they know that this back and forth keeps happening. So who keeps getting making money on this crap? It's Wall Street. You're absolutely right about that, Jessica. Very keen observation. Because here's what happened yesterday. Stocks sink on virus curbs. Despair over stimulus. Markets wrap. NASDAQ futures tumble. Tesla, Moderna, all of them. Bomb, down, 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 down. So you're right about that. And then the president needs to be pushed on this to get this motivated going up again. Now, asked whether or not Nancy Pelosi is going to accept this $1.8 trillion package. You know, she's still recovering from her meltdown on Wolf Blitzer's show the other day. Ro Khanna, congressman, is calling on her once again to accept this $1.8 trillion plan from the White House. She was asked about this, of course, on Wolf Blitzer's show. If you missed that exchange, it's just so delicious to watch CNN finally get its foot out of its mouth and actually ask a legitimate question of Democrats pushing her on this. She's flabbergasted. She can't handle it. CNN, you're going to ask me a legitimate question?
It's the same thing. It's not everything you want, but,
you know,
but there's a lot there.
Honest to God, you really, I can't get over it because Andrew Yang, he's lovely. Ro Khanna, he's lovely. They are not negotiating this situation. They have no idea of the particulars. They have no idea of what the language is here. I didn't come over here to have, so you're the apologist for the Obama, excuse me, God forbid.
Madam Speaker, I'm not an apologist. Obama. I'm asking you serious questions because so many people are in desperate need right now. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
When was the last time?
Let me respond to you.
Let me ask you, when was the last time, Madam Speaker, when was the last time you
Yeah, he said, and I love the way that Wolf did that too, which was to say, you know, I'm sure you respect Ro Khanna. I'm sure you respect Andrew Yang. Puts her on the defensive right away. But she couldn't answer it. And it's a legitimate question. So what's your big concern right now? That the president's name is going to be on a check? It was definitely a political move back a number of months ago when he did it. So we have President Trump's signature on a check. It's a piece of election propaganda. At this point, who cares? And if someone's dumb enough to believe that President Trump is actually going into his own bank account and cutting you a check, you know, then that person can't be saved anyway. And by the way, even if we get something through and completed, there's no way these checks are going to hit by Election Day. at this point, I mean, we are literally under the gun this week. This is it. The amount of time it would take to get this through the Senate, signed, approved, and on the president's desk, and then the Treasury and the IRS actually trying to get these checks out to the American people. Do you think it's going to happen by November 3rd? I don't. So what's the holdup here? Lou Dobbs asked this question. And you know, good for him. He asked the question, why can't you guys get an agreement together? He wasn't just blaming Nancy Pelosi on this. He was asking a good question here. Here's Steven Mnuchin trying to answer that question, but he's putting it back on Nancy Pelosi.
Small business, critical to do that. What is the reason?
Lou, I don't think there's a good answer for that. I suspect that they don't want to give the president a win 3 weeks before the election, but they are holding up relief to hardworking Americans. Mitch McConnell wants to bring the PPP back to the floor. Again, this is areas we have money. We don't need to appropriate more money. There's $130 billion sitting in the PPP. We just need congressional approval to send out second checks. I have over $200 billion of money that was allocated for the Federal Reserve facilities with the Treasury. I'm not going to need that. I'm reallocating that. And we have national security money and cargo money that we want to allocate to the airlines. And again, these are areas of the economy, no fault of their own. They've been shut down by the China COVID virus.
I love your response to this. It's hilarious in the chat. If you're watching our live show right now, someone said, I don't care if Pennywise signs the check. I'll take it. Pennywise. Isn't Pennywise the clown from Stephen King's It? Someone said, Jesus Christ, I'll sign the check. What if I signed it? I'll sign the check and send it out to you. It's absurd at this point. It's beyond, you know, it's beyond absurd. But it's, you know, it's really not. If you start to peel the onion back and you look at this more closely, you realize what's actually going on here. The big corporations already got their bailout. And why is Mitch McConnell, what is the only thing that he's even concerned with right now on the Senate floor? It's putting together a new PPP program for businesses. That $500 billion plan. We have our priorities in the Senate. It's business. Let's make sure that businesses are taken care of. I'm just stunned by the whole process. I just can't wrap my head around it. We're going to show you some poverty numbers here in a few moments on just how bad things have gotten in the United States since the stimulus has dried up. It's not a shock. We'll show you those numbers in a minute. But I was surprised to see, I was excited to see last night, or I was excited to see just a few days ago, Jimmy Dore sat down with Tucker Carlson to basically stick it to the president, give him an opportunity to, because he knows the president watches that show, right? So here's Jimmy Dore basically going after President Trump. He's basically giving him some advice that we've been trying to give the president some advice here on the show, not that he's watching. Which is, I've been saying this all summer. You have the power of the presidency. Take the podium, Mr. President, and whatever the Democrats have wanted, say what you said in July. We're going to go bigger and better than what the Democrats want. Those are your words. Go bigger and better. So the Democrats put up a $3.3 trillion plan. You said it was going to be bigger than what they wanted. It's not, but you could. Right before Election Day, you've got 19 days until the election, and you are losing badly. Joe Biden's up by 7 points right now in Georgia. You know what's bad? If Biden is up in Georgia, he's up in Florida, he's up in Pennsylvania, he's up in Ohio. You, Mr. President, have now pulled all of your spending back in Michigan. You've taken all of your television ad spending in Michigan, a state you won against Hillary Clinton, taking that money, and you're now putting it all into Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is your new, that's your big play right now, Pennsylvania. You have an opportunity to come out bigger and better than anything the Democrats want. But are you scared of Mitch McConnell? You're scared of that Senate caucus. You're scared of Mitch McConnell. Turtle boy. You're scared of Turtle boy? Guy who is bought and sold by big energy. Just look at the millions of dollars he's gotten from big energy companies, big oil, gas companies. You're scared of him. You're scared of stepping on his toes. So Jimmy Dore took this message right to President Trump. Now, Jimmy Dore is a progressive like me. I mean, he's a leftist like me, way out there. You know, he believes in the same stuff I do, which is public education for all, health care for the American people, ending these crazy foreign wars that President Trump said he would end. So he had a message for President Trump last night, and I love this message. Listen.
I say he can, you know, he promised. Why he got elected was he promised to give everybody health care and end those overseas wars and invest that money back home. Well, right now, President Trump, there are millions and millions of Americans who don't follow you on Twitter who are hurting, who needs a check right now. And take those troops home, give that money to the people. If Nancy Pelosi offers $1,200, you double it. Put your name on that check. People need help right now. You know how weak it looks that you're trying to position yourself as a victim to Nancy Pelosi, and take those troops home, take that money, get it in a stimulus check, give it to the people right now. The time is ticking. Now is, you know, if he would have given us health care, he missed his moment. They're going to, whoever gives the American people health care, they're going to put on Mount Rushmore. He missed that. Now it's time to take those troops home and invest that money back here. Now, people are hurting. You tell the Senate, the GOP and the Senate and Mitch McConnell to do their job and get a stimulus to the people, and he'll put his name on it. Whatever Nancy Pelosi offers, double it. That's what Trump would have done in 2016. He needs to do that now.
Wow. That was good. We've been saying that the whole summer here, haven't we? Get these people out of the Middle East. How many times? I say it 3 times a week. Stop spending money on these foreign wars. This massive defense budget lining the pockets of these defense contractors that have the real power in the United States. They're not going to end these wars. 19 years we've been in Afghanistan? What? For what? Obama expanded the number of wars we have. Joe Biden doesn't want to end them. He even said this summer he plans to keep our footprint in the Middle East and even expand it. President Obama, you know, we had 2 wars under George W. Bush. President Obama expanded our war footprint to what, like 6 or 7 different wars? Dropped more bombs, more drone strikes under President Obama than did George W. Bush. Why? Because both these parties are bought and sold by these guys. We at least thought with President Trump coming in, he wasn't a guy who was of the swamp and wanted to end these foreign wars. That's what he ran on. So reallocate that money. Reinvest it in the American people. That's what we've been saying all summer. I love that message. Will President Trump listen? I don't know. So these negotiations on the stimulus continue today. Nancy Pelosi once again meeting with Treasury Secretary Mnuchin. But again, I give you this quote from the Treasury Secretary. I'd say at this point, getting something done before the election and executing on that would be difficult, just given where we are. So that's the very latest on the stimulus this morning. And we're going to be monitoring this throughout the morning here. So stay with us. Make sure you smash that like button and subscribe to the channel. If you are new here, please subscribe. You know, YouTube shows me that 70% of you aren't subscribed. So please do us a solid and subscribe to the channel. I really appreciate it. We also have our daily morning newsletter, which comes out every day. How many of you raise your hand? How many of you have got it delivered right to your inbox? We put a lot of hard work into it, covering the stories that you're not going to see anywhere else. We had a really interesting story this morning about plastics and a breakthrough on getting rid of this, one of the worst chemicals. What would you call a product? What would you call a product? Synthetic substance. So you can get that by going to morninginvest.com. Breakthrough on trying to turn plastic into fuel. So that's one of the stories we covered in the newsletter today. So please subscribe. All right, we've got a lot more to get to this morning on the show. Let's talk about America's taxes and how the tax code in this country just continues to crush the lower class Americans. America's tax code right now is keeping low-income Americans locked permanently into poverty. Take a look at some new numbers that are out this morning. I thought these numbers were just jaw-dropping, but I'm not surprised by it. Right now you have, look at the lowest tax bracket. faces a higher marginal tax rate than middle-income earners. But by the way, let's talk about middle-income earners. There are really not many middle-income earners even left in the United States. You have lowest and highest. That's about it. Millions of low-income Americans right now locked into poverty thanks to U.S. tax policy. And this is from the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. The Federal Reserve did this study. About a quarter of lower-income workers effectively face marginal tax rates of more than 70% when adjusted for the loss of government benefits. So that means that for every $1,000 gained in income, think about this for a second. For every $1,000 gained in income, if you're in that lower tax bracket, $700 of that goes to the government in taxes. In some cases, there are no gains at all. You make the money, you literally pay almost the full amount back in taxes. Poorer families that may rely on Medicaid services or Medicaid insurance, welfare payments, food stamps, housing vouchers, tax credits that are based on family incomes. Small increases in wages can bring big losses, according to this study, in these benefits. Small increases. So if you start, you know, you get a little job promotion and you start making a little bit more per hour, guess what? All those benefits that you were relying on, down. So there's this negative cycle that the Federal Reserve points out. Again, I'm stunned that the Federal Reserve, in the past few months, it's like coming out on the side of the people for once. In both their language and the way that they're structuring some of their inflationary spending ties. The way that they're looking at possibly being able to get a digital dollar to the American people in an emergency. I don't know if this is a sign of change with the central bank. I like to believe it is, but who knows? So it's reinforcing this negative cycle, they point out, where workers aren't rewarded if they improve their skills or their pay. So they put in the time to maybe take a night course, learn an extra skill. They get a bump in pay, and they end up paying more to the federal government. And then those at the top, those people who, of course, are earning a passive income or they're taxed that way instead of active income, right? They're not a doctor. Doctors get taxed a lot. So when we talk about taxing the rich, that's what we talk about. We're not talking about taxing the Jeff Bezoses of the world. We're talking about tax the rich. When you hear Joe Biden talk about taxing the rich, what they're talking about is taxing doctors, people that get a W-2 paycheck, lawyers who take home a paycheck where the government can tap into that money. That's what they're talking about. They're not talking about Warren Buffett. They're not talking about Jeff Bezos. They don't have a paycheck. So are you going to tax their capital gains on their selling of real estate? The selling of stock? Maybe. Joe Biden's floated that idea. Where they'd have to pay higher in capital gains. Chances of that getting through with your Republican-controlled Senate. Good luck. All of those guys are bought and sold by big businesses. Poorer families are getting screwed. You know, and I love what Rafael Bostic says. When he looks at these numbers, he's the Atlanta Fed chair. He says, this is a perverse incentive that says you shouldn't try to make yourself better. He says they are not dumb. It's on us to actually change those incentives so that people understand what the potential is and they move forward towards opportunity. So what's happening right now is as you're trying to move forward towards opportunity, you're actually moving backwards in the eyes of the federal government. You're paying them more. Let me know in the comments, how many of you are experiencing this same thing? You make a little bit more money, and then some of those services that were there to hold you up now we're gone, and now you're paying more to the federal government. Look at this story that just came out this morning. 8 million people have now slipped into poverty since May after the federal aid has dried up. So that $2 trillion package, the CARES Act, actually kept people out of poverty. And now, according to two separate studies this morning, 8 million people have slipped into poverty because this Congress hasn't managed to get off its ass and pass a stimulus package. We saw, look, this isn't new information to you idiots. You guys in Congress saw this stuff back in May. When we were reporting on these stories here on the show, back in May and June, heck, we covered it in our newsletter. My little dinky newsletter had this information in it, where we knew that the effects of the CARES Act kept people out of poverty. It allowed them to pay bills. It allowed them to even start businesses, because guess what? They had $600 in unemployment, which might have even been more than what they were making at Taco Bell. They were actually able to start companies, start an online business, make a life for themselves that's not tied to this poverty cycle. We knew this information. We knew that it worked. Congress knew that it worked. And by the way, we heard Nancy Pelosi talking about it at the podium. We heard Chuck Schumer talking about it. But instead, she'd rather get in arguments with Wolf Blitzer over President Trump's signature on a damn check. And you don't understand. You're just a lowly journalist, Wolf. This is amazing. Wolf Blitzer, somehow the voice of reason. Wolf Blitzer, CNN. The reason everyone's talking about this interview is because, wow, CNN doesn't, never ask a tough question of these people. Actually dug in, and Wolf Blitzer wouldn't give up. I was surprised. He was like a dog with a bone. He was not giving up. He covered the White House for 7 years as a White House reporter before he got this anchor job a number of years ago. Usually he just kind of rolls over, but he wouldn't let go.
Spoke with the president about this.
I don't speak to the president. Speak to his representative.
Why not call him and say, Mr. President, let's work out a deal. It's not going to be everything you want, not going to be everything I want, but there are so many Americans right now who are in desperate need. Let's make a deal.
What makes me amused, if it weren't so sad, is how you all think that you know more about the suffering of the American people than those of us who are elected by them to represent them at that table. It is unfortunate that we do not have shared values with this White House, and that they have in their bill, why don't you talk about in their bill, a tax break for the wealthiest families in the country while they cut out the earned income tax credit for the poorest families in our country and the poorest children in our country. That we have to fight with them to get them to address the coronavirus crisis.
Yeah, she wants to lecture. She wants to lecture Wolf on she knows the suffering. Isn't Nancy Pelosi in like the most expensive neighborhood in San Francisco? Like, isn't her like the median income of those that she represents in her constituents, like live on that slanted hill in San Francisco? Yeah. Yeah. I think like the median income of those people that she serves and her constituents, all the Hollywood liberal types that are out there for Biden. While the American people suffer, she wants to lecture Wolf about that. Get a deal done. This is what poverty looks like in the United States, and it's only getting worse. Only getting worse. 8 million people slipping back into poverty. People whose evictions now, watching before the show, I was getting started in the show this morning, and I was just watching through the comments section, just watching so many of you, someone said, I'm about to face eviction. I'm facing eviction right now. This is awful. I played for you yesterday a number of the different sound bites or different Reddit threads of people that are just dealing with evictions, loss of job, loss of income. And yet we're more concerned with lining big businesses' pockets and keeping this cycle going. It's just disgusting. Well, we're going to see more of the same, it looks like. We're going to see more of the same on this poverty cycle and keeping big businesses employed inside of Washington. Could we be returning to a swamp in Washington if Joe Biden wins? Some people have called it almost like returning to normal. you know, because when Trump was there, you had some swampiness, but you didn't really have a lot of people of Washington. And Joe Biden, it looks like he may be already failing in his role to keep corporate elites out of his White House or out of his transition team. So a new study out this morning shows that of Vice President Biden right now, that support for banning corporate elites from his administration, poll numbers are through the roof. Like when at poll, I don't know, first of all, who would not support this? There's like 7%, 8% in some of these polls who are like, no, I think we should have corporate elites in a Biden White House. So this new poll is out this morning, and they basically looked at, and where is the poll from? It's from, let me just make sure I get, cite it properly. The Data for Progress survey, it was commissioned by Demand Progress. It's a group that focused on the importance of administration personnel, finds overwhelming support for the proposition that lobbyists, Wall Street executives, high-tech monopolists, oil barons, and private military contractors have too much power over the government. You think? This is exactly what we're talking about. So thanks to David Dayen for doing some great reporting on this over at the American Prospect. He says that data for progressives, let me pull this, I think I have a screenshot. Yeah, here we go. Here's the story. You got to read this. What they found is Biden's transition team, his ethics pledge, which he pledged, by the way, this is from Biden himself pledging that he would not have leaders of private prison companies, fossil fuel companies serving in the transition team. He said other executives can serve, but he's not going to, you know, private prison companies, fossil fuel companies, plus lobbyists who are registered over the past 12 months. If they receive approval from the transition's general counsel. So right now, a group that's focusing on this found that respondents said that if Vice President Biden were to ban these lobbyists and executives from participating in his administration, they would be more likely to vote for him in November. It turns out that the American people actually support getting rid of these corporate elites in Washington. Imagine that. Most Americans. So listen to the poll. I'm still struck by some of these poll respondents, right? Survey answers on the power of various corporate elites are pronounced lobbyists by a margin of 56% to 8%. 56% do not want lobbyists. Good. 8% are fine with it. Who are these 8%, by the way? Executives of Wall Street firms, 56 to 6, that was the respondents' vote. Who are the 6 people, or who are the 6%? Tech companies, 54 to 7. Oil and gas interests, 53 to 9. Military contractors, this one's a little closer, 44 to 12% are seen as having too much influence within the government. Then the poll asked how certain Biden announcements would affect their vote, asked what the impact would be of Biden stating that Wall Street firms would not oversee financial policy. 39% said that it would make them more likely to vote for him. 21% saying less likely. The numbers were similar for tech executives, lobbyists, oil and gas industry, and military contractors. So David Siegel of Demand Progress in this interview, he said, these results prove what anyone else outside of the Beltway should recognize. Rule by corporatist elites is very unpopular. That's what we've been saying here on the show. And these numbers are nearly as decisive for independents as they are for Democrats, by the way. 47%, 41% of independents would be more likely to vote for Biden. So you want to attract more people into your tent? Get rid of the corporate lobbyists. Get rid of the corporatists who are running this entire country. And guess what? More people would vote for you. But they won't do that. They won't do that. Because they're already employing these individuals on their transition team. You already have progressives coming out saying, what, you're going to put these people on your team? These defense contractors? These military contractors, etc.? You're going to bring in lobbyists? So we're slipping right back into more of the same. It's almost like the Obama administration coming back again, back into Washington. A lot of the same names are popping back up again. You know, we all talked about draining the swamp, right? That was a really attractive idea. It didn't really happen. I mean, it happened in part. But now you're really not draining. You're filling it back up again with all these lobbyists and corporatists. Not a shock. Like I said on this show, I go, you know, I'm an equal opportunity offender. I'll go after Trump. I'll go after Biden. I won't pull any punches on this. This is exactly what's wrong with our government. Right here. This is exactly what's wrong. I've been saying it for 15 years. Defense contractors run Washington. And now you're going to put them inside your transition team? Make no mistake about it. This is why we're not leaving the Middle East. This is why these wars are going to continue. Because when you put these people inside of your office, inside of your own building, they're going to make sure we stay there. You have the president's ear. Oh, we shouldn't get out of Syria. We shouldn't get out of Afghanistan. We should stay there. We should build a base now in Syria. Really? Because all that money just keeps being funneled to these corporate, you know, these contractors to make as much money as they want, building tanks, building bases, on and on and on it goes. And the American taxpayer gets screwed and ends up paying these types of rates. The fact that the lowest Americans right now, in the lowest quintile, face higher marginal tax rates than the middle income earners in this country. How is that even possible? But it is. Because the government doesn't give a crap about you. And until we make a wholesale change by getting rid of these corporatists, it's not going to change. Make no mistake about it. So they can get out there on the podium over the next 3 weeks, 19 days until Election Day, and talk all they want about how, you know, Joe Biden's up in Pennsylvania. He's going to be there 6 times right now. I think President Trump is heading to Pennsylvania 6 more times. That's the announcement. So all eyes on Pennsylvania right now, the most important state in the country for President Trump, for sure. And Joe Biden's been out in Wilkes-Barre, Scranton area. Of course, that's where he's from. He's been saying, I am your president. I won't forget you. I'm not going to get rid of fracking. Even though I said I was going to, now I'm not, because I need that vote. And who suffers? Yeah, the small guy does, whose groundwater is contaminated with chemicals. The environment gets crushed because you need the votes. What about trying to open up your tent a little bit? Invite more people in. Say, I'm not going to bring in these corporatists into my tent anymore. They're not going to be a part of my government. That would attract these independents in this study. More people would vote for you if you got rid of these people out of your administration. Not going to do it. Let me know your thoughts. Would you be more likely to vote for a candidate if you knew that they would not allow lobbyists, military contractors, former oil barons? I know I would. Let me know in the comments below. And please subscribe to the channel. And while you're down there doing your subscribe thing, just smash that like button as well. Let's YouTube know that, hey, you care about us. We got more to get to here on the show. It's coffee break time. Grover's listening diligently. Right, buddy? You agree? He agrees with me. How's everyone doing today in the old chat? Yeah, Nancy Dubin says, hell yeah, I would. No, we need military contractors. Jenna Park says, no, we need military contractors. Do we? Do we need them running Washington? Yeah, we need military equipment. Do we need it where it's literally running our country? How many tanks do we need? How many aircraft carriers do we actually need in this country? You know, the great canard of all of this, of Washington, is that we, you know, you're somehow unpatriotic. I'm going to have a story on the show tomorrow about President Trump and what his military appears to be trying to do to him right now. You know, he's trying to get some of these troops home. I'm not a Trump supporter by any means, but one area I do agree with him on is getting these people home and these wars. Members of the military right now that are basically scoffing at that. Why? so they can keep funneling money to these defense contractors and keep these perpetual wars happening in our country. That's it. Thank you guys so much for your support. Hey, we got a new channel member. You can become a channel member. It's very easy to do if you want to support independent journalism like this show. You know, we are not bought and sold by millionaire corporations, billionaire corporations. We do this show every day for you. So thank you so much for your support. You can become a channel member by just going to morninginvest.com/join and you'll become a channel supporter every month. It's like a PBS pledge drive, but it helps us out tremendously. And every Friday, so tomorrow, we do our members-only chat. So if you're a channel member, we have our members-only chat tomorrow. We're going to be doing our members-only live streams. Not this weekend, but next weekend. This weekend is my anniversary. Karen wants to know, how much is it to open an outlet account? You can just open it with as little as you want. It's a savings account, so you can put as little as you want in there. You have to use our link, though, at morninginvest.com/outlet to get that 6%. Or to get that money. They deposit free money into your account if you use our link. That way they know you came from us. You get 6% interest. It's a savings account alternative. So it's tied to cryptocurrency, not this corrupt government banking system that we're sitting on right now. Oh, by the way, you see that story yesterday. This is why I love Outlet, by the way, because it's tied to Ethereum, which is a cryptocurrency. So you can deposit your money anytime. You can withdraw your money anytime. And you get a 6% return. So you could start it with $50, $100. I know one of you mentioned that you just deposited like, I don't know, someone sent me a note, said they deposited like $20,000 and they wanted to thank me for letting them know about Outlet, and they're already seeing interest coming in like crazy. Yeah, because this is not what the big banks want you to know about. They don't want you to know about that. But did you see the story yesterday? I was laughing last night. We were just sitting down to dinner and the story came across about the big banks and how the big banks forecast, Chase and all of these big banks, they're doing just fine. They're doing just fine. And their forecasts are looking up. And I said to my wife, yeah, no crap. Their forecasts are looking up. They're totally insulated by the Federal Reserve. The amount of trillions of dollars being pumped in to protect these banks. Of course they're fine. Are we surprised that Bank of America and Chase and these other, that their forecasts are fine? How's your forecast looking? You want to know why you can't, by the way, you want to know why you can't trust the mainstream media? I tell you, they are bought and sold by billion-dollar corporations. And by the way, they're supported by millions of dollars in advertising from a lot of these different sources. Like, take a look at this crap yesterday. This literally... I couldn't believe this. If I would have ever done something like this and people didn't call me out about it, I mean, I would have been out of job working for a major news network, and this is what you do? So this is why you cannot trust the mainstream media. Look at this crap. Yesterday, Stephanie Ruhle over there at, MSNBC and Jay Williams tweeted this out. Look at this. We're teaming up. Chase tweets out, we are teaming up with Stephanie Ruhle and Jay Williams to chat about planning for life's unpredictable moments. Click below to watch the full conversation on demand. Don't miss it. We wouldn't want you to miss it. So it's called Chase Chats. I actually have the video here. I want to show it to you. It's just, this is so cringeworthy. When I saw this, I just said, oh my God, this is a news anchor. Okay, who wants you to believe that she is standing for you, the people, right? She's a journalist. And so she tweets this out. This is her message, by the way. Listen to her message. She cares about you, the people.
Hey, this is Stephanie Ruhle, and I'm looking forward to my conversation with Chase, where we talk about life's unpredictable moments and how important it is to save and plan for them. I hope you're going to join us. Jay Williams and I are going to dig into all the crazy things we're dealing with in our lives right now and how we can best prepare for them. I'm excited to be part of Chase Chat's webcast. I hope you'll join us.
Yeah, JP Morgan Chase. I'm a news anchor for NBC. I'm looking forward to Chase Chats, brought to you by JP Morgan Chase Bank. I'm a news anchor you can trust. Did her bosses come to her and they're making the money off of this partnership? Is she getting paid for this? Is she getting paid by the big banks? Is she getting paid by Chase for this? She's a business reporter. She's a business reporter. How can you cover business if you're doing Chase Chats? Objectively. By the way, I guarantee you, when these Chase Chats start popping up, I can't wait to have conversations about unpredictable moments in your life. You know, things are just unpredictable. And there's a pandemic, and I still work at MSNBC, so everything's fine. I work at a multi-billion dollar corporation. I'm fine. But when life throws you lemons, you make lemonade. I work, Chase Chats. We're going to talk about those unpredictable moments and how you can save. Yeah, because anyone who's saved their way to wealth doesn't exist, as I try to teach you here. You cannot save your way to wealth. But Chase wants you to believe you can. So this is another canard by the mainstream media. You've got to have savings. And where should you have that savings? Where should you keep it? You should keep it in a Chase bank account. Okay. Hey, Stephanie, why don't you use one of your Chase chats to tell people the truth? That you could get a higher return by investing in, gold? Chase wouldn't like that. Buy a rental property that you renovate and fix up and cash flow with a tenant in it. Get the tax benefits of that property. I don't think Chase will like you to talk about that. Will they like you to talk about Bitcoin or cryptocurrency where you could make better outside of this corrupt government banking system returns? No. Let's watch Chase Chats. I want to keep an eye on Chase Chats, because I want to see what Chase Chats likes to cover. I'm excited to have a conversation.
Hey, this is Stephanie Ruhle. Hey. I'm looking forward to my conversation with Chase. Hey. Where we talk about life's unpredictable moments and how important it is to save and plan for them.
Yeah. You just caught me here in my office. I'm just hanging out here in my office. And, life's just unpredictable. But when you have Chase in your corner, you're just going to be protected. You're just going to be fine, Let's have some Chase chats, shall we? The business reporter for NBC. Reporter, business, what? Again, I'd love to know the entomology of this. Did her bosses come to her and say, hey, we're going to give you a little cut of money on the side. You're going to now be a host of the Chase Chats web series. We're going to pay you. Or not, because I know how these big corporatists work. She's probably doing it for free. Hey, and we know you anchor the show, but after the show, you're going to go up to your office. You're going to kick off your shoes. It's going to be like a casual Chase Chat time, okay? Going to kick around. We're going to talk about life's unpredictable things. You live in Westport, Connecticut, where you might not be able to go to brunch this Sunday. Normally, without COVID, you'd be able to go to your brunch with all of your liberal pals in Westport. But it's life so unpredictable that five-star restaurant that you like to go to on Saturdays for your brunch is closed. That's unpredictable. But if I had Chase Bank, I could have put some money aside and I could have bought that restaurant. And then I could go whenever I want. Chase Chats. You gonna watch Chase Chats? Mainstream media. Here's some more mainstream media BS for you. This Hunter Biden story. Do you hear this story? Yeah, Hunter Biden likes to peddle his influence. hey, I'll get you a meeting with daddy. He's got to pay me $50,000 a month, okay? Put me on the board of your energy, your Ukrainian energy board. So I'll pay me $50,000, $80,000 a month and I'll let you meet daddy. Peddling his influence. That's reported. We know that that's true. Well, New York Post yesterday came out with their bombshell story about Hunter Biden and how this Hunter Biden left his laptop at a computer repair shop because of water damage, took it to a Delaware computer repair shop, a MacBook with a solid state drive. So when we get into the techie stuff, this is when I'm starting to get interested in it because most of the mainstream media won't cover this angle on it. They won't talk to you about this stuff because they don't know what they're talking about. So this New York Post story, right? Meanwhile, it's a Rupert Murdoch entity, of course, right? One of the writers of the article used to work for the Hannity show. Okay, so there's a lot of questions about the veracity of this. Somehow Rudy Giuliani got his hands on these emails that were found on the laptop at this computer repair shop, and he says there's more coming. There's 40,000 emails that he's going to release. Rudy Giuliani, President Trump's lawyer. Remember, by the way, that why the president was impeached in the first place is because Rudy Giuliani was flying to Ukraine trying to dig up information on the Bidens, which led to how many indictments of Trump staff or Trump's closest friends and allies, and the president being impeached, by the way. So there's a lot of collateral damage in Rudy Giuliani's wake. Nevertheless, this story emerges. The New York Post reports it. Freedom of the press in the United States, right? There's a lot in the media that I can't stand. I think the New York Times is full of garbage. The New York Times caught lying once again this week. But they still have a right to report it, and we have the right to disseminate it. We have the right to discuss it. You know, it's like going back to pamphleteering and Thomas Paine handing out common sense, talking about why we, you know, should become an independent country. We have the right to disseminate this. We have the right to sit down in pubs and discuss it and sit there and say, did you see that New York Post story? Yeah, did you see that one of the writers of the story used to work at Fox? You see that one of the, you see Rudy Giuliani's in? Yeah, I think it's a bunch of crap, right? There's a lot in this story that makes no sense. Like the hard drive, for instance, the date on the serial number for the hard drive is after he actually bought the computer. So the hard drive looks like it was a third party hard drive, not Hunter Biden's hard drive at all. And if you know anything about computers, you can start to dig into the serial numbers and see when they were actually shipped with that MacBook. So that's odd that this hard, wait a minute, there's a hard drive that wasn't actually in your MacBook that had this information on it. So somebody at this computer repair shop basically stole information off your hard drive and put it on another hard drive and gave it to somebody. The guy at this computer repair shop comes out, gives this crazy interview yesterday. There's a lot of crap with this story. I get that. Nevertheless, Twitter decided and Facebook decided to treat it as misinformation, to block anyone from tweeting about it or sending Facebook messages about it yesterday. So if you tried to tweet this story out, this Hunter Biden story out, you would have been met with this. Now, I'm not saying it was stolen. I'm saying the information was stolen, John. If he didn't come back and pick up the hard drive or his computer to get it fixed, yeah, he left it there. I'm not defending Hunter Biden at all. I'm just saying we've got to question everything, right? Anyway, what I'm saying is, so you go to send this. Oh, tweet not sent. Your tweet couldn't be sent because this link has been identified by Twitter or our partners as being potentially harmful. Facebook was doing the same thing, announced that it was going to limit this message being spread around Facebook. Isn't this amazing? Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, came out and he apologized basically and issued a statement yesterday, basically saying that they should not have been flagging this without a reason. So people trying to share this story and have a discussion about this story about Hunter Biden couldn't do it. It is interesting, though, the timing of this, isn't it? 3 weeks before the election, suddenly there's a laptop that turns up. with all kinds of emails. And we're not actually even seeing the proper emails themselves. We're actually seeing images of the emails. That therefore, we don't even get to see the metadata of the email. So someone was taking screenshots of the emails, not actually the emails themselves. So there's a, again, this story stinks. There's a lot to it, and it stinks. It smells bad. And if I was a reporter doing this story, I would start from the ground up, not trust any of the sourcing on this. I would independently try to verify all of this stuff. But, you know, most blogs and people won't do that. They'll just regurgitate this story. That's why I didn't cover it in our newsletter. Because it stinks. Something's really fishy here. But I will cover the fact that Facebook blocked it and Twitter blocked it because they work for the government. We see the cozy relationship these social media companies have with the federal government blocking big stories like this. They're in cahoots. They don't want this stuff getting out there. And the American people have a right to know. The American people have a right to know, like, what level of, you know, corruption that Joe Biden may be sitting on, peddling influence, having his son get a job, getting $50,000 to $80,000 per month. The guy didn't even have to show up for the job, Hunter Biden did. He just was on their board, didn't have to do anything. But he could arrange meetings, come to the United States, meet my vice president father. Get cushy relationships with the Ukrainian government. Here was Joe Biden when he was asked specifically about this question. He couldn't answer it, and he got furious and just yelled at the reporter for asking the question. And he wants to turn it right back to Donald Trump.
What was your role as vice president in charge of policy in Ukraine, and your son's job in Ukraine? How is that not a conflict of interest?
It's not a conflict of interest. There's been no indication of any conflict of interest from Ukraine or anywhere else. Period. I'm not going to respond to that. Let's focus on the problem. Focus on this man, what he's doing that no president has ever done. No president.
Focus on that. Focus on President Trump. No president has ever done. There's no indication. I love that too. There's no indication. How about the indication is that your son got $50,000 a month? How about that indication? There's no indication. I love he just points right at the, how dare you? Aren't you a member of the press? Aren't you a liberal media? You're not supposed to ask me that kind of a question. There's no indication. But we should all be upset at the way, I mean, this is, we're starting to get into China, North Korea territory now, where these, we can call Facebook a media company. You know, a few years ago when they started curating news stories in their news feed, allowing partnerships with like the Washington Post, the New York Times, and LA Times for you to be able to post your crap on Facebook as a news provider, they're a media company. They have Facebook Watch, you know, which is a media company, which is a their version of YouTube now. Twitter as well. You can watch NFL games on Twitter now. They're media companies. That's where the real money is. That's why they're signing exclusive deals to get NFL games and things like that. Facebook started their Facebook Watch shows with doing exclusive content on Facebook, which no one watches, by the way. They're media companies. They're just like mainstream media. We want to pretend that they're social media. They're not. But this is how some of the most important information in our society gets, you know, in war zones and other areas, tweets that come out of those. To think that like Twitter's sitting there blocking or hiding certain information because certain government people don't want you to know about it. I mean, This is disgusting stuff, folks. Anyone has a problem with this, you know, write to Jack Dorsey at Twitter. @Jack. That's his handle. Say, outrageous that you would block this type of information. Who are you, by the way? Who is Facebook? Who are these fact checkers? They're basically, Facebook's message was, we're going to fact check this. You're going to fact check it? Facebook? So the American people are now putting our trust in you, Facebook, to be fact-checking stories? what is this, a 22-year-old who's sitting there at a computer, who's hanging out on TikTok, is going to fact-check stories now? Or are you going to go, when you say you're going to fact-check a story, what does that mean? So this New York Post story, how are you fact-checking that exactly? Is Facebook going to independently contact the owner of that computer hardware repair shop and dig in with some tough questions? You know, when did Hunter Biden leave this laptop here? Can you tell me exactly what was... They're not going to fact-check that. How are they going to fact-check it? They're not. All they're going to do is check with other media sources. So they're going to check the New York Post story by checking on Breitbart. They're going to check on FoxNews.com. They're going to go to TheDailyCaller.com. They're going to go to MSNBC.com and confirm. So they're going to check with other mainstream media companies to confirm the veracity of reports. Come on, man. Barbara Smith says, I'm buffering when I'm criticizing YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Yeah. We know what we're up against. It's the thing, use these platforms. Otherwise, it's incredibly expensive. And who's going to be able to afford? Would it create my own YouTube? We want disintermittent, I've got to walk a line. Make sure that I don't say something here that's going to get my channel shut down. But we should be outraged about this, and no one's calling attention to it. And we just go along with it like sheep. It's like reminding me of like what George Carlin, famous comedian, used to say. Government, they don't want people to be smart. You study Latin American history, that's true of any of the autocracies in Latin America. We don't want our people to become smart. The moment they become smart, that's when they overthrow governments. If they just get enough food, they just get enough government services, then it keeps them in line. They get the mediocre education, it keeps them in line. The moment you start becoming intelligent, start thinking for yourself, start questioning all of this stuff, they try to shut you down and silence you. And I'm not defending this Hunter Biden story at all. Like, again, I said it smells. You dig into it, you realize there's a lot to be desired with this story. We still live in a country with free press, and we should all be able to have our own discussions. We should all be able to fact check it ourselves. Right? Like, if there's something that maybe I say that you disagree with, you should be able to disagree with me. You should be able to look it up yourself later today. You should be able to dig into, read a number of sources on that, buy 5 books and confirm it. Instead of having YouTube put a slate up over my face that says, we find this to be, dangerous or misinformation, and we're going to fact check him. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're going to fact check me. This is what's going on. Wow, we went long today. But hey, thank you so much for supporting independent journalism here on the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for subscribing to our channel. You can become a channel member or just subscribe. Just go to right here. Just click the little subscribe button. Smash that like button. Thank you for supporting us. And we publish our daily newsletter every morning, Monday through Friday. It's totally free, delivered right to your inbox. And so you can read it in about 5 minutes. It takes about 5 minutes to read it. Just go to morninginvest.com and you get a newsletter for free delivered to your inbox with the news that I think is important for you. And then a little bit of humor in it as well. We try to have some fun. Grover occasionally weighs in with a little story if he finds something outrageous. He's not really a good freelance writer, though. We're going to have him test different bones and write a bone review column. We've got this one that's like a wood. It's like a redwood. This one, he's already destroyed half of it. It's pretty good. It's really good for his teeth. We got to get another one of these. These are pretty good. So sorry for the buffering again. I don't know if it's
I don't know. I saw it on my end too, so I'm not quite sure what's going on, if it's a YouTube thing or what.
Elena Gavis says, please leave Biden alone. He will be the only one to save America. You believe that?
Come on, man.
You really believe that? I like Joe Biden. I think he's a nice guy. But look, the person we have in the White House right now is a disaster. And so if you think that Biden, let's take that comment at face value. He's the only one that can save America. That's not true. There's a lot of people that could have saved America, but we just were bought and sold by a two-party system, really a one-party system. So we didn't get a chance to vote for an Andrew Yang or a Bernie Sanders because they're pushed out. People who could actually change America for the better. And then they all fall in line. Bernie Sanders falls in line and goes out to do a Biden rally where five people show up. But when he was having his own rallies over the summer, before he dropped out of the race, he had thousands of people there. So then he shows up and touting the Biden line. Everyone's going to vote for Biden. Like, oh, Bernie, what happened to you, man? And there's five people that show up. One of them was a Trump supporter that got up in front of his face with a flag. He couldn't do anything about it. It was so sad to watch. But no, right now, if we can just get this clown out of the White House, that's step one. But Biden is not the person that's going to save America. You are. Biden is not. Once we get these corporate elites out of Washington, who are unafraid to say, screw you to these defense contractors, who are ruining this country, who are not afraid to get rid of these oil barons out of Washington, who are ruining this country. I mean, just look at Mitch McConnell. His entire donor list is all big energy oil companies. Who do you think he cares about? You? I want to do a study here on the show, and I'm going to dig in. I'm working on some numbers, and I'd like to bring it to you, which is on the most disliked members of Congress, meaning in their own states, who have the lowest approval ratings. I think it will surprise you. And these end up being the people with the most power. So then the question is, how the hell are they still in power if the people in their own states can't stand them? How do they keep winning? So I want to look into that. We're going to have that story coming up next few days. I don't know if I'll be able to do it tomorrow, but maybe early next week if we can't. So thank you guys so much for your support. Don't be delusional about Biden. Yes, he might be the guy that gets clown A out of the White House. But, if you're not paying attention, like I just covered the story today on the people in Biden's transition team who are part of the same world that got us into this mess in the first place. Biden said he would get rid of these corporate elites in his administration, his transition team, and he's already breaking that pledge. Do you feel good about that? So just see this with a clear head, okay? There's not anyone on a white horse going to ride into Washington and save us. You can. We can if we demand a change, getting actual third-party candidates in here who are not bought and sold by these people. We're still watching that race up in Alaska, the Dan Sullivan race. There's a guy who, aligned himself, taking all this money from this pebble mine when an overwhelming number of Alaskans don't want this pebble mine to be built because it's and the EPA, after a three-year study, said it was going to be an environmental catastrophe in the state. And he votes for it. You know why? Because he's taking money from this pebble mine company. It's going to destroy the largest wild sockeye salmon population in the country. Overwhelmingly, Alaskans don't want it. How does he approve it? Isn't he supposed to answer to them? No, because he's getting paid by them. So these are the stories you're not going to hear other places. So thank you so much for all of your support. Much love to all of you. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern time right here on the show. I know we went long today, but we had a lot of stuff going on. Thank you, guys. Checking in here on the... Yes, vote, vote, vote. How many of you voted, by the way? 15 million people already voted. 15 million people. Thank you, guys. All right. Let's wrap up the show, shall we, Philip? All right. And hit the button. Great show, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.